Welcome to Incandescent Tarot, a podcast exploring how to integrate tarot and spirituality with everyday life. I'm your host, Gina Wisotsky, a pro reader and utter tarot enthusiast. Join me as we tackle big questions like why the tower is so intimidating and what it means to develop a spiritual practice in this wild modern world. Hello, lovely listeners, and welcome to the latest episode of Ask a Tarot Reader. This is our monthly check-in to dive into some listener questions. So we do two types of questions here. One type, the first that we go into, are technical questions. So how to read tarot, what is going on in that whole wild realm? This can also include questions about intuition and spirituality, all of which have a welcome home here. And our second type of question, which is also the second half of the podcast, is a listener-submitted question about a personal issue. These are all anonymous, of course, but this is where we do a mini tarot reading and dive into what the cards could be saying about this topic or question. If you would like to be a part of this space other than listening, please submit a question of either type at incandescenttarot.com/askatarotreader. I have a nice collection of them and I'm always welcoming more. And it is such a joy to have you all here and to be able to talk tarot and do tarot together. So the question we have in the technical sphere is really exciting. I am so into this question because it's something that I talk about a lot in my work doing tarot, and it is really near and dear to my heart. So let's go ahead and hear from our lovely listener. Hi, Gina. This is a technical question. How do you read challenging cards without falling to either they are good or bad? Some cards can be seen as so challenging from knowledge or past experience, yet you seem to be able to read each time with curiosity and openness without your intuition being cluttered by challenging experiences with the cards. Would you say that comes with practice, with the cards and self-care routines and a personality trait? What would be your advice? I ask because I can sometimes feel overwhelmed by certain cards when I read to myself, and it can take away my initial enthusiasm and intuition. Hope my question makes sense. Thank you. Well, thank you for submitting, Anonymous. And I have a lot to say about this topic, so setting an intention to be concise and to get at all of your wonderful points. I do want to start with the fact that this is so intrinsic to the tarot practice itself. All of us, I think, had some encounter, and hopefully, it's usually the first encounter. I was going to say hopefully not, but we're going to be real. Usually there's some idea around tarot before you start learning it that it is some frightening esoteric system. You see it a lot in horror movies with psychics using it to predict something terrible. Of course, it's a horror movie. But we have this understanding of tarot that's kind of floating around our cultural ether that it is going to tell us something scary. And if you look at the deck, I can see where people would get that. With all of the occult trappings and history aside, the imagery in tarot can be very upsetting. Cards like the Tower come to mind, the Ten of Swords, the swords in general, just a lot of stabbing going on over there that is very unpleasant to behold. And in practice as well, you know, tarot is meant to be a system that reflects the entirety of the human experience. And we all know from direct experience in our own lives that it is not always easy. So there are some tough images, some tough cards that appear in the deck. And that means that we are working with the full spectrum of colors. And it also means that we're going to have some encounters with images that are upsetting, with cards that can trigger things in us, and with cards whose meanings are difficult to integrate, not what we want to hear, or challenge us in some ways. Now, I really like how you frame this question because you bring up a lot of options. And I have to say, this answer is maybe a little frustrating when it's like, yes, all of the above. I think it really does take a lot of practice to work with these difficult cards and to remain open to them. Now, there's a lot of ways you can go about doing this. And I'll say too, like, no matter what you're doing, you're already practicing. It's happening. And I think the thing that comes up the most powerfully right now as I record this is that paying attention, and this is something that I didn't really understand very well when I started reading. I was really young. You know, I hadn't learned a lot about myself yet. And I think that's also a nice thing that happens in anyone's tarot practice, is it's sort of a tandem journey. You're learning about the cards as you're learning about yourself, and you're using the cards to learn about yourself. So it's all intertwined. Don't worry or waste too much time trying to separate things out. You're never going to get ultimate clarity. And I think that's another thing that tarot does as well, is it invites us into murkier spaces. We have to practice acceptance and mindfulness and presence, all of those wonderful things. But one thing that I wish that I had known when I was starting out is that when you feel triggered or upset or disappointed by a card, freaked out even, that is important information. Pay attention to those moments. Those are moments when, as a reader, your ears can be pricking up, your intuitive ears, and you can think, what is this bringing up for me? Your emotional response is a very, very important part of the reading. It is a part of the reading itself, just as much as the cards are. So noticing when a card is confrontational, maybe that's a kind of neutral way to talk about this phenomena, because it can be a whole spectrum of feelings. But when it's confronting you and it's bringing something up, just take a breath and notice it, acknowledge it. Like, for example, I'm thinking about, I did a reading for my wedding day, and I turned over the tower. And I was like, what? Excuse me. So, of course, I was very nervous in that moment. Like, does this mean there's going to be some sort of catastrophe going on? You know, another thing to bear in mind, too, is like, if you're reading on a sensitive topic like that, something that you really have skin in the game, you want the response to be a certain way, or you can imagine that you'll be upset if it is not what you want to see. Just keep that in mind. Be like, how can I be a little tender with myself? Maybe I could frame this reading in a way that would kind of eliminate the possibility for like a message that would be disruptive to what you're doing. In any case, I remember getting that card and being like, oh gosh, this is not good. But I noticed that and took a deep breath and was like, okay, well, that makes sense. This is telling me that I am really caring about this. And of course, I wouldn't want the tower to be signifying my wedding day. Of course, lightning did not strike me at the altar. I was not at an altar, though, as I say those words. Lightning did not strike me in front of the courthouse, nor did it strike me in my backyard at my reception dinner. That card ended up being more about finding a way to disrupt. And no, I'm not going to go on a rant about tech bros in the tower, but it did represent for me in that moment the idea of disrupting a powerful idea, an institution of marriage, and doing it my own way. And of course, there are other cards that were influencing that reading. So that reading was very helpful for me, though, in that it directed me towards some self-compassion around where I was feeling tender and nervous. So that is one way to look at challenging cards, is to really welcome and accept and interrogate further where they are making you nervous. Now, you do mention that this could be tied to a personality trait, and that is a very good point. I do tend to err on the side of optimism. However, I do think that is just as much a personality trait as it is a personal choice. And that really brings to mind the fact that we are all reading tarot as ourselves, one, and two, with mindful intention. So it's a nice practice and a nice act of agency to really approach your readings, your tarot practice as a whole, with some values in mind. And I think that also helps center you as the reader. You have a role you're occupying when you're reading tarot. You're not just receiving knowledge from on high. You're interpreting the cards. You have choices you're making. Your intuition is guiding you, but it's very much a work in progress. It's not a, you know, prophecy being just like whacked on your head from someone far away in a cloud. You are looking at these cards, navigating them, using all the tools available to you. And one of the things that influences that is your worldview. So whenever I teach people, I really like to start our time together considering your worldview. What do you bring to tarot? What is your perspective? How do you choose to look at life? And that can be any number of things. So I will do a little plug here, though, for positive, optimistic readings, in that I believe that if you are using tarot as a tool for self-reflection, self-discovery, I'm laughing because that just became sort of the buzzword phrase around tarot. Like, it's not divination, it's self-reflection. Not to say self-reflection is bad, but I just like to pay attention to these things. In any case, if you are reading to know more about yourself and to be more connected with your life and to have a sense of openness and to be effective, I would even dare say, how you look at the cards really matters. In my experience, looking at the cards in a pessimistic way has not inspired me to grow, has not challenged me to try new things, and has not led to resonant readings, period. So seeing the cards as your allies and seeing them as a tool among many other tools that you use to navigate your life is really, really helpful. And so I think just my little plug for the positive approach. And that can be an innate personality trait, but it's also a choice that we bring to the cards. So the longer we do that, the more we practice, the more it becomes something we can trust. And that is a backbone of our practice and our readings. I really love all the self-awareness in this question. And one thing that you say that I really like is that sometimes you feel overwhelmed by certain cards when you read to yourself, and it can take away the initial enthusiasm and intuition. This is such a good point. So we talk a lot about intuition in this space, and intuition is wonderful. It's great, but it is a little flighty. So this happens all the time, no matter how long you've been reading for, and also just using intuition in daily life, is it sort of like a flighty bird. You can spook it and it'll fly away, and it takes some time for that to come back. Again, I would just say, notice when that happens. It's totally okay. It's unavoidable. And I do think the work that you do around your reading can really help with this, sort of framing it, bringing an intention to the space, asking a question in a way that you create some parameters. You know, like, if you don't want to know about a certain thing, don't ask about it. If you need to really go to a certain point, be very specific with your question so that you know what the answer is in response to, rather than a general query that is just going to, you know, give you a wide vista that maybe will give you more space to freak out in when you get a card like the Three of Swords, for example. It's very different to ask, you know, what do I need to know about my beautiful new relationship? And you draw the Three of Swords versus what do I need to heal around my past relationship so that I can be more present in my current relationship. Then you draw the Three of Swords. That's much more pointed and helpful. So I would say too, like mentioning the idea of enthusiasm, it's okay to be bummed out by a reading. And not all readings that are meaningful will leave you feeling enthused and excited. So sometimes we need to hear things that are a little more sobering, and we need to be directed towards something that is unpleasant. If you can look at that as an opportunity and feel empowered to work with it, then it's not so destabilizing when you're reading. One thing that I do want to mention is that thinking about readings as ongoing is really helpful. And that's been something that I've really been enjoying in my personal tarot practice. So rather than seeing the reading as a static thing, you turn over the cards, you interpret them, it's over. I like to look at it as an ongoing process, an open-ended question. So once I've interpreted what I see on the table for myself, and say, for example, I get a tough card. Like, I recently had the Five of Swords and the Ten of Swords in a personal reading, and they were in the center of the reading on top of each other, and they were occupying a space, the meaning of which was something to let emerge from within. Now, this is pretty funny because both of those cards are violent. There is a desolate scene on the beach in the Five of Swords where there's, I think, two or three figures. They're facing away and they are, you know, heads down turned. There's all these swords on the beach. And then there's one person in the foreground holding a sword, sort of smirking. And it appears as if they have vanquished these other two people, caused them some suffering, and now are gloating. And then the Ten of Swords is everyone's favorite. It is a person face down on an abandoned beach, and they have 10 swords stuck into their back. It's very like porcupine reminiscent and completely ridiculously overkill. So these are not cards you would expect to have in something to let emerge from you. And, you know, I was a little like, this is not what I want. But I thought, okay, I'm not entirely sure what this means, but I could imagine that this might be about embracing conflict and maybe seeing the end to a certain way of interacting that has caused me harm in the past. So I just sort of took that hypothesis and then lived my life. And so that's one thing that you can do with upsetting cards is to find a gentle interpretation of them or a meaningful, it doesn't even have to be gentle. In this case, it was, but find an interpretation of them that feels fruitful and positive in the sense that it will bring something useful into your life and see how it unfolds in your daily life. I really believe that we're meant to enact our tarot readings just as we are meant to interpret them. And so you can gain a feel for them as you proceed with the wisdom that you've gotten from the reading. And sometimes that will bear fruit, sometimes it won't. And, you know, as we talk about a lot, this is a tricky practice. It's an art. It is not an equation. So there's no right or wrong way to do it. And I think it's important to remember, too, is that you are just reading with some pieces of cardstock. So you get to decide what you do with whatever comes through. And there is not something irrevocable or just essential that you will be missing if maybe you are not feeling a conclusive or really punchy and resonant interpretation to those cards. All right. This has inspired a lot of talking. Who saw it coming? But I do want to end on one piece that you mentioned that I really, really loved. And that is about self-care practices. So that is so wise to bring up in a question, A. And B, oh, just I'm delighted. I feel like I've gotten something from that because you're right. Self-care is so, so important around making your tarot practice a cozy and affirming space for you. So I do really like to set the stage in that way, like give myself lots of grace and comfort. And in general, too, the practice of tarot is self-care because you are granting yourself the space to ask sometimes deep and difficult questions, or at the very least, just to get to know yourself a little better, sort of like having a consultation with your higher self, with some wisdom that maybe is not immediately accessible as you're just running around doing all the million things we have to do as people alive in the world today. It's a lot. So when you have sticky moments or when you get cards that really freak you out, think about how you can be caring to yourself in those moments and how you might look at that and think, I'm bigger than this. How can I use this to help myself? Whether that is reframing the card. So if you have a knee-jerk reaction, you're like, oh, Ten of Swords, that's rough. Well, maybe you're already in that space and that card is pointing you to do something really nice for yourself or pointing you to the fact that you're not in a place to take in new information. And this reading is directing you to take a break from the analysis and from the intuitive exploration and to just focus on your body or focus on getting through the day with as much gentleness as possible. So just a few little tips around self-care there. It can either be pointing you towards the fact that you need some, and also just to reframe your whole tarot practice as an act of self-care. And in that container, upsetting cards are not meant to be pointed or personal in a judgmental sense, but rather ways that you can see soft spots that need a little more tenderness and tending to. Thank you so much for this incredible question. I'm delighted by it. And just hold on tight for the next question where we're going to look into some cards. Thank you for submitting. Please go to incandescenttarot.com/askatarotreader to submit any technical questions. I already have a few in the queue, but there is room for more. And I'll be back next month with those. And let's take a little switch now to go into a reader personal question. So this question comes to us from a listener named G, and they asked, "Will I ever feel fulfilled by my professional career again?" Love this question. Love how it gets right to the point. So we have two cards in front of us face down, and we're going to do a live reading. Let's find out what the cards have to say about this topic. Ooh, okay. Oh my. So we actually have a reading that is touching on our first question here. So we have a difficult card that we are going to be talking about. Now, this is an interesting one because I feel like this is an example of the intensity of a question being reflected in the intensity of a reading. When that happens, in my experience, it tends to show kind of a backlog of energy when something is holding a lot for someone. And we have a pair here of a very poignant adult minor arcana card with a very intense epic major arcana card. So there is something coming together for this listener. Our first card is the Eight of Cups. And we haven't seen this one in the newsletter in quite some time or the podcast. It came up for me in a client reading a couple weeks ago. And I was just remembered how much I love this image. It's very powerful. So I'll describe it for you right now. And as is tradition, we are reading with the Rider-Waite-Smith deck. This is the system that I was raised on and continue to love passionately. If you want to see these cards, you can Google them. Of course, they are going to be the images that come up because this is the grandmother of modern tarot. But you can also look to the Substack post where you'll see a photo of them as well. So the Eight of Cups is just so beautiful. I feel like I need to just take several breaths and settle into this image. It is a wall or sort of a stack. There are two tiers of cups. Five on the bottom. Make sure I count things accurately. So there's five cups on the bottom and three stacked on top. There appears to be a little space, however, on the top layer, as if there is a missing cup. Now, behind this wall of cups, we see a shoreline, a little bit of water, some rocky mountains, they're not too tall, and the moon. And walking out so that their feet are right in between the two cups on the top tier, sort of filling the gap, walking from the gap, is a figure, and they are wearing red shoes, a red cape or jacket of some sort, and they are turned away from us holding a walking stick and beginning their journey up this path through these mountains. So, and I will add too, as I look at this, there is no clouds in the sky. It's just the moon. It's a very peaceful image. The blue of the sky matches the blue of the water to the person's left. So there is a sense of calm, peace, and also a need to move on. I think that's why I love the Eight of Cups so much, is that it shows us really listening to our emotional truth and stepping away from what is good enough because we know that we need more and that we ourselves can gift ourselves that missing piece. So I imagine that this character has seen their wall of cups. All of them are upright, so nothing's spilled, nothing's lost. They're looking at these cups and they know that they need to go find that missing cup. And that is a journey that they have just embarked on. And they are clothed in red. They have that red cape. We're going with cape. I want it to be a cape, so it could very well be a jacket, but I'm going to call it a cape. They have their red cape, they have their red shoes, so they're clothed in the color of passion. So they are standing out, they're taking a risk, but they're also following what galvanizes them and what lights them up. And they're doing so in moonlight. There's an interesting neutrality to the environment. Sure, there's some rocky hills in the distance, but there's no clouds in the sky, there's no bad weather, it's not bright daylight, so there is a sense of having to take a risk or step out when it's not entirely sure. And if you know tarot, the moon card rules uncertainty and loopy wildness and those sort of mythic in-between periods in life. So there's a shout out there to that energy. But this is doable. It's just a bit of a trust fall. However, is it really a trust fall if you trust yourself? That was a little cheesy, but it feels important. So, with regards to our listener's question, this is a very cool card, I would say, that yes, you can feel fulfilled in your career again, and it is requiring you to step out of the familiar, to leave what is good enough, what has been working, and to find something new. That being said, the newness isn't like reinventing the wheel. It's not something entirely foreign to your situation. It's actually kind of not more of the same, but it is of the same type of work that you've been doing. And for this reader, I would say, reader, listener, I go back and forth, but I would say pay attention to and revisit if you need to what is or has been really emotionally fulfilling for you in your line of work. Because the eight is a card of accomplishment. Like you have a wealth of experience and a wealth of knowledge. And that experience and knowledge was brought about because of a very emotional sense of satisfaction you got from your work. And that's still there. And I love that about the Eight of Cups. It's like, it's still available to you. It's at your back, but you can always revisit it. It's not going down the drain. You're not losing it. You're just trying to grow on that sense of satisfaction and deeper meaning. So if you've been feeling like you need to make a change or that a change is on the horizon, that is really reflecting something true in yourself and is something to follow. I'm thinking about migration here. Like how do they know? But I do like to think about the calls that we have that are just innate. When we know it's time to do something differently, or it's time to go seek out something, that we're almost being called along a route that maybe we've never been on before, but is part of our path. Okay, so I'm really waiting for this one. But the other card is the Tower. I'm going to say it. It's the Tower. And this is probably, I would say, one of the top three most feared cards in the deck. And it's rough visually. We have a tower, as you might expect, and there is a bolt of lightning striking the top of the tower. It's a little comical in that there is a crown on the tower that is being knocked off at sort of mid-tip from the top of the tower, and flames are erupting from the tower itself. And there are two people who have been pushed or jumped or just expelled from the tower who are falling to the ground below. The sky is black, there's clouds, and there's smoke. We don't really see the ground itself either. So, yikes. Now, there is something, I won't say affirming because that is a very positive spin, but there is an external circumstance that may be pushing this listener to pursue what really matters to them and to maybe take some risks to go and find something that is meaningful in their career, or to reconnect with that sense of satisfaction that has been missing. So the Tower is a major arcana card, and it represents things happening to us that are outside of our control. So here it seems as if there is that energy, something is happening to this listener that is spurring along the necessity, that is inspiring some urgency to the Eight of Cups. Now, this is challenging and it's not going to be easy. So, you know, I think to go back to the question that initiated this this episode is that, you know, positivity, I think, has to extend towards the influence of the interpretation in your life. You can have sort of wishful thinking, wishful positivity. So that is wanting something to be positive because you're uncomfortable. But you can also have realistic positivity or like instrumental positivity. I'm just freestyling the terminology here. So I'm never wanting to read a reading in a way to sugarcoat or to invite fantasy into what could actually be a really helpful tool for dealing with reality. So looking at the tower here, I do see that this could be a very helpful but difficult. So these two things are existing at the same time. Helpful but difficult energy in propelling change. Not necessarily inspiring it, but giving some jet fuel to push this listener a long journey. So some awareness of what really matters, some inspiration to really do what is important to them in the time that they're given. I'm curious here about the interplay between the major arcana, which is sort of like a big life trajectory card. All of those cards deal with huge themes. And the minor arcana, which is the Eight of Cups here. That is more about everyday life. So it seems like there's big life themes that are influencing and maybe propelling some change along in the everyday realm. And that, because the Eight of Cups is such a integrated and just meaningful, important card, seems to be a positive force in that sense in this reading. So meaning and satisfaction are definitely attainable for you. They are going to be inspired by some struggles, and I would really invite in so much tenderness and gentleness here. I do think something interesting is that the Eight of Cups is fairly advanced. So it may be that you have done a lot of the legwork to figure out what potential paths you could take. You may even be emotionally more ready than you think to take the first step. And that the next step really is the first step. It's not more planning. It's not more groundwork, it is actually just starting. And that is really beautiful, really important. And I think there's something gorgeous here too, because the tower has these two figures falling to the ground. The Eight of Cups has a figure standing solidly on the ground next to some water, which symbolizes emotion. But there is a real sense of commitment and solidity that might not be immediately obvious to you. So find that place within yourself and really know that you can move forward while tough things are happening, and that those tough things may really be clarifying your path as you go. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining me in this space. And I will be back next month for another installment. Until next time.